back here on the Press Box Morning Show. They're on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Clay Baker, Ed Graney, and Dr. Caleb Pinneger from Crivetti Orthopedics is here with us. He's Southern Nevada's sports injury expert with the good people over at Crivetti Orthopedics. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys this morning?
Good. Well, we thought we had fun times at our house, but talking in between the break, I got to get over to the Pinneger house on Friday night. They're stitching everyone up in the neighborhood. You know, we've never talked to you about that because I would think you have your cell phone on quiet or vibrate at worst, like when you have downtime. Because anyone who gets hurt in your neighborhood is probably like, yeah, we get over the Pinneger house. That guy'll stitch me up. You must get that a lot because you're a doctor.
There's the occasional, hey, can you take a look at this?
I
got a question for you.
They take off their shoe and their foot's all black and stuff, right?
Yeah, feet for some reason. despite how many times I've operated on a man, there's something about the foot. Not my favorite toy.
Well, it's better than Ed. Ed and I are like, hey, could you take a look at our ass? Because we're having a hard time sitting down. We're standing up today.
That's why
he doesn't like
now.
That.
That's why we stand.
Yeah, everybody's standing. It's like ergonomics.
Yes, he was very nervous when he came in. What are we standing for? What's happened here?
Can I please sit down?
Yeah, he was like, I don't want to feel like I'm just lounging about here. Let's do the interview with some seriousness. But we were talking about, you have to go and, manage everybody. Like, if somebody gets hurt, if you got to go on a family vacation, do you have to go and bring surgical kits and stuff like that just because things are going to happen and everyone's going to look at you for help, right?
They do. The nice thing is that we've... You know, everybody at some point in their life needs a favor, right? I mean, you're going to need it from somebody else, and eventually they're going to need it from you. It's a good cycle. You know, you got to watch out for everybody's got someone in their life that's happy to take advantage of them. But, we were packing up for family vacation, and my wife's thinking, why are you bringing all these sutures? And I said, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. And there we go. Here we are on the kitchen table on vacation, and I'm out of sutures. I've used them all up.
Wow.
I've just stitched up everybody. Hopefully nobody else gets hurt.
Who got hurt on the kitchen table?
It must be a crazy family. They're on vacation. So this many people have stitches.
Hey, you guys are like doing the extreme winter games or something like that?
This is no holds barred. This is very intense family vacation. I mean, you get 19 grandkids together.
Oh,
And there's enough kids with fishing poles and pocket knives.
Oh,
eventually,
yeah.
You never know what's going to come walking in the door.
19 grandkids. That's not a vacation for you. Maybe everyone else, but you're going to be working the entire time. I didn't know there were 19 of them. You have no chance. No wonder you have stitches.
Yeah, maybe it's time to purchase a farm and get the kids working in the fields and stuff. Right? I'll put them to use. They've got a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Instead of like they're playing Shark Tank on each other.
We're watching the Open Championship, and Tiger just finished, and make the cut. So wanted to ask you about this. Yesterday, he's 43, and what Tiger has done in the past is either before or after tournaments, sometimes he'll go into his health, and obviously everyone knows about the health issues all the time he missed with the back and the torquing and everything he's talked about, his knees. And at 43, he was pretty honest yesterday. He's asking, he's talking like a guy, 53 or, even older than that. Clay brought up a point I wanted to ask you about this in terms of, is the best we can maybe expect from him now, maybe he takes, golfers, a lot of golfers take December off. That's kind of their downtime before they hit it again. He won the Masters this year. But a body like that, as much as he tries to remain in shape and healthy, is it going to be hard for him, given his past, to have full years now? Or even at 43, which, is not old, but, it's 43, and on his body, he's probably older than a 43-year-old body.
And 43 competing against strong, healthy 20,
right.
And that's exactly, what do you see happening in any sport? The older you get, the more minutes you take off, the more the younger guys got to pick up slack. And when you come in, you play strong, but your body does not respond to the inflammation and the demand like it did when it was younger. When we treat a kid's injury, we know they're going to recover faster than when we treat a middle-aged or an elderly injury. Those things, it's all about inflammation, and your body needs more recoup time the older you get. And at 43, competing on an every week basis, it's I think it's unrealistic to think he can keep that up, and he's going to have to be a little selective about tournaments and where he goes and how much he does. You see LeBron James with how much he invests in the cryotherapy and the hyperbarics. Those guys know that they don't recoup, so they are doing more to recover because they don't have that same immediate recovery and long-lasting like the younger guys.
But he's 2 years removed, Tiger Woods is, from having that spinal fusion, his fourth back surgery. How many professional athletes can go and play at a high level after something like that?
With that type of torque, it's all just when how much time until the next segment? So basically, when you fuse your spine, the whole spine used to work together, and now you have a segment not doing its job, so above and below have to work harder. Eventually, above and below start to also break down. It's all about how long is that process going to take, and it'll be faster. The more he turns and twists and puts that type of acceleration and torque through it, it'll happen quicker.
Talking to Dr. Caleb here from Crivetti Orthopedics. Follow them on Crivetti Ortho on Twitter. So huge injury in the NBA. Kevin Durant plays in the NBA Finals, gets in for a game, blows the Achilles. Now he's with Brooklyn. They say he'll definitely miss next year. They're planning on him missing next year. So we've talked about the Achilles in the past. They put him on the court, and I'm sure I would think the doctors and the trainers said, we're clear, we're good. I don't think they put him on the court if not. But I want to ask you about the Achilles. Was there any way at all, unless he's telling you it hurts or there's pain, that they could have seen something like this? And if you have another injury with your legs, I guess how susceptible was the Achilles to being blown at that point? Or is this just a freak accident and he stepped wrong and he blew his Achilles out?
The most common reason to tear your Achilles is when there's already chronic and degenerative changes in that tendon. And so the fact that he'd already had an injury, a partial tear, you know it's more susceptible to rupture. But everything you do in your athletic training room and in your therapy clinic before getting started, you're testing him, you're trying him, you're making sure, can he do a box jump? Can he cut? Can he twist? Can he turn? Can he sprint? Can he stop? If he passes those tests and if he's telling you, hey, it's not hurting, you assume he's recovered. And he goes knowing you at any point you can hurt it again, and he is absolutely at higher risk. That first quarter he played, I said, wow, I mean, I'm impressed he's playing so well. And when he fell down, I hated that I kind of saw it coming.
You knew.
I knew right away, and I just thought, how sad. I mean, you know that everyone that was involved had to feel horrible. There's always going to be a finger-pointing game, like, you idiot, why did you let him play when you knew he could have torn it? But this is a high-profile athlete in a finals series. He wants so badly to get back.
Does the Achilles, well, take us through, if you can, to the layman out there listening, the surgery for the Achilles, and does the Achilles ever recover to 100% where, I mean, I know guys come back from the Achilles. Sometimes they just don't look like the same player. They just don't look like they can do everything they did before. Does the Achilles improve to 100% for an NBA player?
In terms of stats, if you look back at every guy in the NBA who's ever had an Achilles injury,
no.
Very few.
Wow.
It's almost always fewer minutes, fewer games. If they get back, I mean, it's easy to say about a third won't get back. And it's
the ones that do get back,
yeah, won't ever play again. And of the guys that get back, they're less minutes. They're not putting as much points on the board. And maybe he'll be that exception because there are some, but the odds are against him.
Wow.
Okay, so you said the last time we had you was about a week before that injury, maybe 2 weeks. And you said there is no grade 3 calf strain. It goes grade 2 to ruptured tendon.
Mm-hmm.
So why would, and you felt like there's no way he's going to play. Because you felt you've been on certain boards and certain meetings. Your fellowship with Dr. James Andrews. You've seen professional athletes come in, and there is a collaborative process, is there not?
Mm-hmm.
For team doctors, independent doctors.
Trainers.
And trainers. And when Durant got injured, there's a CEO, or was it GM, or was it the GM, came out immediately in the press conference, was like, this was a collaborative decision. Mm-hmm. We decided, all of us, that this would be a good time. Wasn't us forcing him out there. He tried to, like, go and do a mea culpa, trying to absolve himself of all responsibility. But how often do you see these collaborative processes, and what do they really take? Is it all up to the player to say, okay, I will do it?
It is, and nobody's going to force him to step on that court.
But that is kind of forcing a player to, when you have all these other forces saying, well, you know, you probably could do it. You still want to win, don't you?
Because the bottom line is
they want him on the court, and he knows they're coercing him in their own soft way.
And I think what you're saying is, if I blow out my knee today, and I go to you tonight, and you say, Ed, this is what it is, we're going to go surgery tomorrow, I'm not even questioning it. You're the expert. You're the one I trust. I wonder if when he heard, like Clay said, all these people say this, like, well, these guys are the doctors, and, you know, they say I'm okay. I think we have that as humans. Like, I'm trusting what you say, no matter what. I mean, I'm going to trust you, and maybe there was that in him, too, that, you know what, if these dudes are saying I'm okay, maybe I don't feel 100%, but they must know because they're the doctors.
Yeah. No, I mean, there could be that conversation about, say, you know, and the conversation you often have with these athletes is, you can say, look, I mean, you're passing every test. You have a risk of injury, but I would go play. Because if you can, great. If you can't, you're going to have surgery anyway. And so sometimes it does come down to that talk, and that would potentially put it in his head like, well, I guess I better give this a try. And unfortunately, it turned out the way it did. But you see players like Derrick Rose with the Bulls. I mean, he had been cleared from his ACL surgery for a long time before you really saw him come back. And so even though by the book answers and by the tests, he just didn't feel it, so he just didn't do it. Remember, if you remember, that was a little bit of a prolonged recovery. So
it got people fired, the team had languished, they never knew when he was going to play, if he was going to play. He's one of the few players to say, like, no, I am going to shut it down, and I'm not going to be, you know, just jumping right into this. Kawhi Leonard kind of did the same thing, didn't he? He didn't feel like he was getting the right diagnosis, and they weren't really pushing him in the right direction. He didn't think the team had his best interest at heart. Most players, though, as most top level athletes are going to always, I think, side on themselves that, like, yes, I want to do it. Yeah. I will play.
I think most of them do. And a lot of them, if they got a good agent, their agent's going to say, hey, look, I mean, your whole career's on the line here. Is it worth this couple of games?
They're supposed to protect him.
Yeah. So that's such a tough call. And I know that the general manager came out and he said, if you want to point fingers, go ahead, point them at me.
Yeah, Bob
I'm in charge of the team. Yep. It's my, but overall, everybody's got to feel horrible.
Something you do on a daily basis, Klay Thompson blew his ACL.
Yeah.
So let's go through this. And we've talked about ACL so much. I mean, you know, high level, incredible athlete. I assume that helps him. I mean, if he walks in your office compared to like a 60-year-old guy who's in shape, you're like, I'll take that guy. I mean, just because they're going to maybe recover faster. Best case scenario, worst case scenario for a high level lead athlete to recover and to play in the NBA with an ACL.
You want to know the statistics are so good for this. Okay. He's looking, when we look at all the NBA players who have torn their ACL in the past, you're talking high 90%. He gets back. It's going to take him, I mean, the average return to play on an injury like this for the NBA specifically, 11 months plus or minus a couple months. So I can't say with confidence he'll be back the tail end or even for the postseason of this coming season because he injured himself so late in the year. But we should sure see him back that following season.
He could miss next year, all of it.
He could miss all of it. I mean, according to that statistic, I mean, 11 months plus or minus 4 months, that could put him 15. He might miss everything next year. But if he's on the early end of that, we'd see him at the end.
Wow.
I don't know.
But 90, high 90%.
So the ACLs now, and you do so many of them, you've told us in the past, if you know what you're doing, and
it's
it's a great surgery. There's a really good chance of recovering, especially someone in the shape that he's in.
Uh-huh.
He could come all the way back and be Klay Thompson again.
Oh, yeah. Without really, I mean, early you see them miss a few minutes as they get their stamina, everything back. But in the end, their performance ratings should be right on.
We're speaking with Dr. Caleb Pinneger, Southern Nevada sports injury expert with Crivetti Orthopedics. Go online to icanagain.com, and you can see for yourself not only the great processes that they do, but the attention to detail that the board-certified orthopedic surgeons over at Crivetti Orthopedics, how well they treat all of their clients. And you can see from just the testimonials alone how you guys change people's lives. I was blown away when I came in to see you, all the stuff that's all this new, not only technology that you have, but the testimonials from the people that go and get receive treatment, how much follow-up care there is. I've never seen a more thorough and comprehensive treatment of any client. And these people who are maybe like, I would say, maybe like three or four that I saw cases of people in their mid-50s to late 60s needing hip replacement, needing knee replacement, and they all get it to the point where they can again, in a way, from the website, icanagain.com, that they're able to go and live all sorts of lives. All these people that had their injuries all go to Europe. They all go do things that they've been waiting for, but they could never do. So you think about the 20 years of tyranny that you live on being injured, and you just quietly endure it, and you never get help. Well, everyone that comes to see you guys all gets to go and experience the life that they've been wanting to live. And I think that's really, it's a testament to everybody over there.
It's what we pride ourselves in. I mean, if you're putting your life on hold because everybody's in your life told you, you know, don't get anything done to your hip or knee, or don't get anything done to your shoulder because you want to delay it as long as possible, and you see poor folks in there. You know, oftentimes they get to late 60s and they are just like, well, I haven't been able to walk farther than 10 feet at a time. And that's miserable. You don't want to live your life like that. You got to get a little more aggressive about getting yourself back.
I have a buddy who literally on Facebook last week was rejoicing in the fact, he lives in Arizona, that it was approved that he'd have both knees at once. How often would you do that? I mean, when I heard him, I'm like, okay, that would have to be approved because that's, I mean, that would have to be major. You wake up and both knees are replaced. Like, why, take us through as a surgeon why you approve of that or why you would say, well, let's do one at a time. Like, what would, I'm sure it depends on the person.
It does.
But he was like ecstatic that the surgeon, whoever, okayed it.
Yeah, we get people that talk to us about that quite often. I mean, in all truth, it's not a procedure I do frequently because of how miserable that person is about 2 months after surgery. So it can
like
be
Clay walking in with the bursitis.
Right.
It's not bursitis anymore. We got it correctly diagnosed now.
It can really debilitate you. They're happy when it's over because they say, whew, I'm glad I got both those things done. But overall, I try to talk people into staging them. Do one, recover a little bit, do the other. We can do them pretty quickly back to back. But man, if you go in and get both of them done, you're real laid up. And
they're okay till the meds wear off.
Oh, yeah.
Then it's like, what the hell did I do? A massive injury in the NFL, which was really sad because it was just, it reminded us of Joe Theismann, and ironically, it's the same team. But Alex Smith, I know you know of the leg injury, and, I mean, he almost died. I mean, it was that close. It was almost, they almost had to take the leg. So, I mean, it was really, really, really a bad injury. The wife put on Instagram this week, 8 months short, but crazy. It's over. Today's a big milestone. We're shedding the weight Alex has been carrying literally and figuratively. It's one step closer. The step that he took was he shedded the brace on the injury. Like, this was a massive injury. Can you take us through a little bit about, at this point, still would his main concern be, I want to walk and play with my kids, or can I get back to the NFL?
I think first and foremost, probably the former. Okay. He after going through, so what he had, for those of you that may not know the injury, it's an open fracture of his shin, basically. The tibia fibula, both the bones in the lower part of the leg above the ankle, broke, came out the skin, out on a football field, dirty sock, everything else, and that gets fixed. You put hardware in there to try
Ed's
to put it
dying
together.
Right now. He can't. He's too squeamish. I'm sorry, Dr. Finnegan.
Just, my God.
Wait a minute. Where's,
he had to throw the dirty
chair?
Sock in.
Get his chair. Somebody sit
the
him
dirty
down.
Sock. Where's the chair?
And so he basically that... You hope you give that person antibiotics, you fix the fracture, and the skin heals and life is good. But there is a risk of infection. Once that bone is exposed to the outside world, if there gets to become an infection in there and if the antibiotics aren't enough, repeat surgeries. Sounds like he had upwards of six.
Oh,
I don't have total proof of how
many
that was.
Because there's infection, so they have to go back
It's all because of infection. And so what happens, and when you say brace, the trick is this is not like a boot or like a knee brace or like a knee sleeve. It's an erector set.
It looked like a halo around his leg, right?
Exactly. It is a series of rings with pins, and each pin goes in the skin, through the bone, out the other side of the bone, out the other side of the skin. They tension all these, and it becomes this rig to hold the bone in position because the hardware that he had deep inside had to come out because the infection got so bad.
Oh, no.
And so he ends up with what we call an external fixator. Instead of internal fixation, where you have a plate and screws inside your body,
don't see
all
him.
His hardware is now outside the body. And you have to give it a long time to heal and then take it all out. So, advantage, now you don't have any hardware inside your body. But now, look how many months this has taken. So that's...
long time.
Open fractures are rough. They can go great or they can go awful. And he, unfortunately, had a pretty prolonged and bad complication with this. So, I know he even mentioned, right now I got to learn to walk. And so, this is going to be long. And optimism, he's a great athlete. Can he get back? I don't have great research to support whether he will or not, but if anybody's going to give it a whirl and try, he's going to be the guy.
I think what he will try to do, though, is try to fulfill what the team needs as far as, like, watching you progress through a rehab process. But I think even the team would have to know exactly what you're saying. Like, it's over. You're not coming back and playing at a full tilt anymore.
They certainly can't count on him coming back.
Right.
With any degree of certainty or any time frame, not really. But, I mean, you know, this year... super unlikely, I would presume. And then, but is he going to be? I know he can still throw. Right. I know he can stand.
He needs to run a little bit, though. He's always been a mobile quarterback.
The gangly kid, yeah.
Yeah.
That was one of his strengths at Utah in college. He could run under Urban Meyer. I mean, it's too bad because they've kind of taken away one of the strengths now with this leg, which I assume can't be the same. I mean, they could get it back somewhat, but if it's still this bad, I can't believe it's ever going to be the same.
Well, once the bone heals, the nice thing is if you have a fracture and if the bone heals, it's not real likely to break in that spot again.
Oh. Okay.
Usually, once that heals, it's stronger at that exact point. again, like we talked about, the spine, break it above, below, you know, there you got a new problem. But overall, shouldn't have the same injury, but he's got to coordinate all those muscles that have now done Zippo for several months. He's got a lot of recovery to make his leg back to the mass of the other one and be ready to go.
That's why we love having you on, because you can explain the reality behind the feature stories that are like, he's coming around, everything's going to be fine, because in reality, this is far from freaking fine, okay?
Is it strange that I continue to wonder if Dr. Penninger's medical bag there includes crackers like Kramer on Seinfeld? Like, if I looked in there, would there only be crackers? Just so you wanted to bring one in just to show us that he has a bag?
It's really kind of fluffy. It's a lot of components in there. I got it just in case, too. They're great. They're wonderful.
There you go, right?
Why is yours so loaded?
I brought the hammer. You said the horse needle didn't work last time. We got a hammer. I got a drill. I got some screws. Where can get you going?
Give me one of those Alex Smith deals. I went on a Rector set.
I would like you to show up with things coming out of your body, like some kind of screws or bolts just coming out as you walk in here.
Shouldn't you have like a more medical, a clinical term instead of fixator?
Right?
It sounds like really more like the Rector set, like you brought up.
It's
the outside fixer. Well, I know we gotta let you go because you're busy today.
How many surgeries?
Yeah, what's going on today?
Today's clinic.
Light day?
I'm in the office.
Oh, so, no surgery.
Oh, okay, good.
So no surgery today. Long day yesterday in the OR. Love it. But
how many knees can you fix in a day?
Depends what procedure we're doing.
ACLs. You just line them up.
ACLs, you line them up. I mean, if you got a good crew, you can knock out 8 of those in a day.
Oh, what did we say yesterday?
I said a dozen.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
Oh, you're doing better than us.
We're sitting around here wondering if we should sit down or stand up. That's our biggest decision of the day. You're in there saving lives, for Christ's sake.
We were trying to impress you to see if we could stand this entire interview, and you're not impressed.
And you've done it.
Yes.
I told you I was impressed.
All right.
ICanAgain.com is the website with Crivetti Orthopedics. And also, speak to that. Like, how great you guys follow up with all your clients. And you talked about low infection rates. You guys have probably, like, I love how you guys totally go like 98-99% no infection rates. That's really strong.
Hey, infections are one of the worst things we can get in orthopedics, as we just talked about. But yeah, I mean, you do this in an efficient, quick manner. If you make sure that we're doing every necessary step to try to avoid that, and
get that bag out.
And by all means, let's keep infections out of the process. And we've been very good at our institution to try to keep that away.
That's fantastic. Thank you again for coming
in.
I know it's a busy day for you, but we always learn so much. Next time when we get you in, we want to talk about some more NFL injuries, including the Cam Newton, the transverse process and stuff. And because everyone is so maybe a little overzealous about having him come and play at the high level again, we'll have you explain his injury next month when you get a chance to come in with whoever you want and whatever you want, whatever is in that bag.
Whatever's in that bag.
Will you please share it?
It's very mysterious about this
bag. Write a couple
bag.
Prescriptions when you're over here next time.
Yes, I'll take Vicodin.
Thanks again, Dr. Penninger. We appreciate
it.
Appreciate it. Go online to ICanAgain.com and see for yourself the good people at Crivetti Orthopedics and how well they do each and every day, not for just athletes in Southern Nevada, but for you and I. Coming back next with Kevin Ioli here on The Morning Show.
Join ESPN Las Vegas this Sunday for Aces basketball. The Minnesota Lynx are coming to Vegas. Tune in this Sunday at 2:30 for Las Vegas Aces basketball. Brought to you by Aaron Smith, your go-to guy for all your real estate needs. 855-GO-TO-GUY.